you, Brother Price, and praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Now, I know what time it is, and I know if we dismissed an hour from now, you'd stand around another hour. But this has been a long day for some of us, and some of you, no doubt, will be planning to drive a little distance tonight after the service. I don't intend to take advantage of you. I feel like I'm either going to have to be real brief or real interesting or really anointed. Amen. So I know what to do about the briefness, and I don't know what to do about the interesting part, but it's up to the Lord to anoint. So it's in His hands. Let's praise Him one more time. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord bless you. The Lord richly bless you. And may you be seated at this time. And I want to say how very much I've enjoyed being in the Western District, being in, first of all, San Diego, in this great church, Brother and Sister David Gray, who have been an inspiration to all of us for so many years, and great fond memories linger in my mind for some of the early part of my ministry was here in San Diego. And I don't want to say how many years ago that has been. But we had a great time, and I appreciate San Diego. I appreciate the Western District, Brother Price, Brother Cantrell, the members of the District Board, and all of the ministers. You have been most kind to me, and I appreciate all of your kindness. To the laity, and those who come in for the evening services, the visitors from out of the district, I'm so happy to see Brother and Sister Timms. Yeah. He was a member of the General Board, and we enjoyed so much being with them in the Arizona district, even last year. And I could name a lot of names, but of course that would take up a lot of time. It's great to be with Brother James Boatman. Now, Brother James Boatman is somewhat like myself. His looks deceives his actions sometimes. And he and I were linked together in a camp meeting last year. And, praise God. You won't believe it. You just won't believe it. But this man took off dancing in the Spirit. And I want you to know we had one more time. He was a soloist in the choir. That was it. And from that, it just gathered momentum. He is one of the finest persons that I know, and I appreciate him so very much. And then, of course, Brother Sism, who could easily have taken more time tonight to tell you of the many things that are happening around the world. God bless our dear Brother Sism and all of you. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I know I've missed some names, and I should say some things that I will, when I'm finished, wish I had said. But just thank you for letting me come and be with you in this great, great Western District Convention. Many old memories and friends and all have just been great. Praise God. My only regret is that my good wife could not be with me in this convention. Had she been along in this convention, I would have been a bit presumptuous, but I would have asked Brother Price to permit her to have a seminar with all of the ministers' wives, especially. She has a very good subject that she is quite well versed in. And sometime during this convention, I'm sure we could have found time for her to have given this seminar. Its subject is how to act like that's the first time you ever heard that message. Can I hear the pastor's wives, the minister's wives say amen? Praise God. Well, of course, you know I'm just teasing. But if she were here, you couldn't tell by looking at her, watching her actions. She tells me she enjoys my preaching. And she really doesn't put on. She just really helps me. And all of you minister's wives, you need that. Just boost your pastor, your evangelist husband, and let him know you're with him. And with taping what it is, and God bless the good tape ministry. Amen. Well, you never know. A young man came up to me in Massachusetts a few weeks ago, and he said, I've heard that sermon 8 times on tape. Praise God. Well, if you think I'm inhibited, you've got another thought coming. Amen. I am not. Because the next time you get up and sing the same song the second time, then you'll have me on your hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. In fact, I don't get really comfortable. I never get comfortable preaching, but I don't get real comfortable with a message until I have preached it several times. Amen. Well, I hope you understand, because the thoughts keep coming. Brother Price just added some more to my message last night in the concluding remarks that he made. And I appreciate that. Praise God. I'll just mingle those thoughts and go with it. Well, praise God. So, it's time to preach. And amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I am going to preach from my heart tonight, and I will be brief. If I just give you the outline of this message, and really, I'm not finished with it. It keeps coming to me. Even I was sitting here on the platform, different thoughts came to me. But I want to read out of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 2nd verse, that goes like this: feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. And I am not going to read the furtherance of that passage of Scripture, but the latter portion says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Then I could turn your attention to the book of John, the 21st chapter, and I could read, if I would take the time, but 3 times Jesus said to Peter. The first time, feed my lambs. The second time and the third time is feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now, that's the New Testament verses of Scripture. I'm turning to the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, and begin reading at the 12th verse. Genesis 37. Remember, Peter said, feed the flock. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And the 12th verse of the 37th chapter of Genesis is a story that I want you to hear. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, or Jacob, said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. That's the title. Where do they feed their flocks? And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Where they feed their flocks. Will you bow with me in a moment of prayer? Dear Lord, we thank you for your presence, for this great crowd, this beautiful spirit, the choir that is sung, the special singing, and all that is transpired. Now bless the word, anoint it, in Jesus' name we'll praise you. Amen. 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 Everybody say, Praise the Lord. I know you're still there. Amen. Amen. There are some facts about this brief story that I want to first point out to you. First of all, there are several characters you're going to be needing to become conscious of. The father, who is Israel or Jacob. The shepherds, who were the brethren of Joseph. Joseph himself, the sheep, and the pasture land. I want you to keep those points in mind. This is all representative to me. It is a type, a beautiful type. I think the Father knows where the sheep ought to be. Can you say amen? Amen. So the father calls Joseph in, and he said, Say, the shepherds are feeding the flocks in Shechem. Are they not? There was a bit of a question in his mind. He knew where they should be, but he asked the question, Do not thy brethren feed their flock in Shechem? He said, I want you to go down. And I want you to see, first of all, how it is with the shepherds. Secondly, I want you to find out how it is with the flocks. I want you to come back and give me word again. So Joseph leaves, and he comes to the vale of Hebron, to Shechem. And after a while, a certain man finds him, and he's just wandering around, wandering, looking. Must have been a pretty good pasture land. But he doesn't see any shepherds, and he doesn't see any sheep in Shechem, where the father thought that the shepherds and the sheep were. The stranger said to Joseph, What are you looking for? And Joseph said, I am seeking the shepherds and the sheep. Can you tell me where they are? And the stranger said, "Yes, I overheard them talking. And their conversation went something on this wise. And you'll forgive me for adding. This old pastor that we've been in every day, I'm tired of it. If we would take our flocks and go down to Dothan, that's where the trade routes are, and that's in the direction of Egypt, and all that our sheep are going to do is graze anyway. And we shepherds need some entertainment. So if we get down to Dothan, we can see the people as they come and go. And it'll be on the way down to Egypt. What do you say, boys? Let's take our flocks. Nobody will ever know. Dad won't care. Let's go down to Dothan and let's let them feed down there." So Joseph is wandering around at Shechem. But he goes on down to Dothan and he finds more than shepherds and sheep. He finds bitterness and a hatred, a hole in the ground that he's placed in, and the premeditated sentence of death that was to be upon him had not one of his brethren prevailed, he would have died. But instead, after a while, here came the traitors, the excitement, the camels, and all the material stuff they were taking down into Egypt, and they sold Joseph down into Egypt. Amen. Now, he did not get back to the father to give a report on the shepherds or the sheep. For they were not where the father thought they were. They had left the old familiar pasture grazing land and went looking for something more exciting, the trade routes nearer to Egypt, and they became involved in a situation that was to take them all eventually into Egypt. Amen. What those boys hadn't counted on was that the father had a feeling that something was going wrong. And he said, "Joseph, I want you to go and first of all check up on the shepherd and then find out how the flocks are doing. And then I want you to come back and tell me how well it is with them." Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Laity, you'll pardon me, but there are two things about sheep that are predominant, among other things. First of all, a sheep does not have a sense of direction. Neither do they have a sense of danger. Sheep do not have either one of these characteristics. They do not care especially where they're feeding, just as long as they are feeding. They can wander off from the flock and not even be aware that they are gone from the flock. They will follow the shepherd, Because they know He knows where the pasture land is. If they encounter a wolf, a lion, or a bear, they have no idea what to do about it. For they are defenseless. They have nothing to fight with, and they are really not aware that they are even in danger. Amen. So, we are vitally concerned about the flock. The flock. But more than that, since the flock doesn't have a sense of direction, neither a sense of danger, we are more concerned about the shepherds. The shepherds. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe there's only one pasture land. The Father knows that it's Shechem. Amen. Praise God. Only one grazing field. Sometimes it may seem like a lot of sameness. It may seem like a lot of repetition. It may get less exciting as we go back to the same pasture land over and over again. But that's where the shepherd comes in. Hallelujah! Amen! The reason why some sheep stray is because the shepherd makes the feeding place a monotonous place to be in. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God! Jesus said to the woman at the well, "The time is come, and now is, that they that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Hallelujah! The two go hand in hand. Pastors, shepherds, we need the truth, but we also need the Spirit. Amen. Amen. People, sheep, are hungry for the move, the mighty move of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We must see to it that there is a depth of the Spirit that flows in the same pasture land where the Father thinks we are. And the sheep will enjoy feeding where there is truth and where there is Spirit. Hallelujah! Praise God. Amen. Everybody likes to do a little jig every once in a while. Amen. But we have found our services sometimes so bound. And we have found that our worship is so tight. And we have found that we have not gained access to the throne of grace. And so we come sometime to the pulpit with little to offer and with nothing to give and with an emptiness that the people are hungering for. Amen. Hallelujah. But I don't believe we are going to find it down in Dothan. It's not going to be the excitement of strangers passing by. It's not going to be the excitement of traders on their way to Egypt. It's not going to be the excitement of the crossroads nor the trade routes that's going to suffice. No, 1,000 times no. We have nothing that we need from the traders. We have nothing that we need from the crossroads. And we certainly have nothing that we need from Egypt.
Everything we need is in Shechem. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. I was at the church one day, and some of you have heard me tell this. I was there in my office, and the phone rang, and there was this mysterious, mystical voice on the other end of the line inquiring if I was the pastor, and I said that I was. She said, "I want to talk to you," and I knew immediately what vein her talk was going to be in, because I recognized not her, because I had never seen her, but I recognized who she was. And I didn't have the time to spend with her, and I wanted to get off of the line as fast as I could, but I couldn't. She was one of those kind that kept on talking, and finally I thought, well, if I can't beat her, I'll join her. And so I just joined up with her. And in that mystical mysticism, she said, "Do you believe that we can pray and bind spirits?" I said, "Oh, yes, we definitely believe that. You can pray and bind spirits over cities?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, what about let's praying right now over the phone?" Well, I really never have learned how to pray over the phone. Some of you might have, but I said, "All right, let's pray." And we started praying. She was on one end of the line, and I was on the other end. She didn't know what I looked like, and I didn't know what she looked like. And we prayed to bind the spirits. And after we finished, she said, "Ooh, I feel something." I said, "Ooh, I do too." Amen. I was going along with her. She said, "Tell me something. Does your church have the gifts of the Spirit?" I said, "Listen, woman, a long time before you were ever born, and a long time before the people you associate with was ever heard of, we have had the gifts." She said, "Well, then I'm going to come to your church." I said, "Please come. We want you to." Since I didn't know what she looked like, I didn't know when she came. But she came the next Sunday night, and she sat down on the back of at the building. And we had everything that night. You name it, and we had it. It was just one glory wave after another. Praise God. Hallelujah. We were not in Dothan either. We were in Shechem. That's the only place I know anything about is Shechem, where the old paths are. Amen. And so we had it all. A great move of the Spirit. Well, she called me up about a week later, and she said, "Brother Becton, we have decided that yours is the number one church in Nashville." I said, "Well, sister, before you ever decided that, we already knew it." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because Shechem, amen, that's where it is. That's where it is. All we need to do is to look into that pasture land and find it. Amen. People are hungry for spirit and the move of the Lord. And shepherds, how well are you doing? How well are you taking care of the flocks? Amen. There was a piece in our paper that has constantly amused me. And remember, I'm talking to the shepherds first. Amen. It says, "Preachers take lessons in acting. Preachers take lessons in acting. 16 ministers are taking acting lessons to spice up their sermons. Fran Bennett teaches voice and body movement to the preachers at the Guthrie Theater." She said, "Ministers as a group are pretty dull in the pulpit." One minister said, "I've learned to handle my tension. All preaching is acting, but we don't have much training. I've tried to think of preaching as talking.
Miss Bennett had the ministers relax their arms, their stomach, and neck by bending over at the waist and touching the floor while humming in both high and low tones. She said, make your voice go from your basement to your attic. Drop your head and swing it like a bell. Swing it. Feel the muscle stretch. Get up. Shake your elbows. Shake your shoulders any old way you wish. In another exercise to loosen the neck muscles and relieve tension, she advised, imagine your head is a bottle cap. Screw the head into the neck and shoulders and screw it out again. Amen. I don't believe we need any acting lessons. Hallelujah. You get down there to Dothan, you're going to have to learn how to act. And you get down into Egypt, you're certainly going to have to learn how to act. But I tell you, when you're over there in Shechem, hallelujah, where the Father knows you are, amen. Amen. The anointing of the Holy Ghost will come upon you as a minister. Amen. And you'll know how to act. Preaching is not acting. Amen. Praise God. 1,000 times no. You don't have to get in front of the mirror and see how you're going to look when you wave your hands. You don't have to swing your head or screw it on like a bottle cap. All you need to do is get the Holy Ghost anointing and be in the place where God thinks you are and lead the sheep into the moves of the Spirit. Hallelujah! Praise God. Praise God. I don't know what it is about sheep, but they like spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's just a little bit of something in me that likes it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want you to know that if we ever get to the place where they can walk into our services and say, you're no different than any other denomination, we have missed it by 100,000 million miles. I'm not saying that we always have to be running the aisles. I'm not saying that we have to walk on the back of the benches. But we have got to have the depth of the flow of the Spirit in truth. In truth, in truth. Amen. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Hallelujah. Praise God. You say, well, it's all happening down in Dothan. No, it's not. It's not all happening in Dothan. Amen. It's happening in Shechem. But the devil doesn't like for it to happen in Shechem. And every time we open a Jesus name Pentecostal service, we have the devil to war against. They don't. Amen. They don't. Because though they are hungry, and though they are sincere, and though they are searching, Satan would like to give them all spirit and no truth. Amen. And we have the truth, but sometimes without the Spirit, and the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love doctrine. It's the structural steel that holds the building up. Amen. All they have is a flower box at the windowsill. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Just stay in Shechem. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The hour has come and now is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We think we know a lot about Eli. But really there's not much in the Bible about him. only about four chapters. Most of our thinking of Eli is connected with Samuel. And we think that we have a lot of history about him. But we know very little. The first time we see Eli in the book of 1 Samuel in the first chapter, Eli is sitting upon his seat. And while he sits there, he sees a woman come in, and she is all moved. She's not saying anything, but she's quivering and trembling, and there's words forming in her mouth, but not a sound comes out. And that minister, Eli, says as he sits upon his seat, that woman is drunk. And he marks her. And he mistakes a tremendous move of God for something that he thinks is something else. Now, Eli, if you would have known better, you would have gotten up from off your seat quicker than you did. He finally realized that it was God moving on her, but he had already made the mistake. Amen. Oh, shepherds in Shechem, let's be sure that we don't mark a move of God as being something else. Amen. Hallelujah. I am so very time conscious myself. I am the most time conscious individual you'll ever meet. Amen. Really, when I get on an automatic elevator, I find myself pawing at the door. It just won't open up fast enough. And here a while back, on a Sunday morning, I was going to finish my message just straight up 12. I was going to have everybody standing, and we was going to be walking out just a minute after 12. We was going to be going home. Roasts were cooking in the oven, and the table was already set, and everybody was anxious to go. And I finished my message right on the dot. I had the congregation stand, and just as I was about to call on someone to dismiss in prayer, there was an individual across the way that burst forth speaking with tongues. My first inclination, and I admit it to you, my first feelings was, woman, why don't you be quiet? I didn't say it, but I felt it. I felt it. I said to myself, and I wanted to say it to her, why don't you be quiet? Don't you know that we're ready to dismiss? I was just fixing to call on somebody to pray the benediction, and we were just fixing to walk out of here to go home and eat. But she continued on in that flow. And then when she finished, there was a beautiful interpretation. And from that, the altar literally filled with people. And I was condemned all afternoon because of my feelings that I was so time conscious. From then on, I have gotten up from off of my seat, spiritually speaking, and I have tried to detect that move of the Spirit in Shechem that I feel is so important and necessary. Oh, we've got to have it! We've got to have that move, shepherds! Amen. Amen. But sad to say, some of our shepherds have thought, well, it's more exciting down in Dothan. Amen. That's where the trade routes are. You won't believe. You will not believe some of the things that is happening to some of our people. Amen. One minister said, I am searching the Bible diligently, and I have come to the conclusion that I am no longer going to preach against anything that is not specifically mentioned in the Scripture. I myself could smoke if it were not for the fact that I might get lung cancer. Amen. There are some that are teaching the fact that we are the righteousness of God, and I believe that. But they also add to that, that we can do anything we want to do because we are the righteousness of God. There's a group of ministers that have gotten together and they think they have received a marvelous revelation. But all they have done is moved from Shechem down to Dothan. And really, they have gone back to Calvinism. And they are teaching the doctrine of John Calvin. And his famous words were, nobody is perfect. And so they have said, since nobody is perfect, then why bother with getting people into any kind of state of perfection, because nobody's going to be perfect until Jesus comes. And oh, what an error. Oh, what an error. Because the word perfect and perfection in the Scripture does not mean flawlessness. It means maturing or maturity. Amen. Maturity. Maturity. Of course, we are constantly knowing more and more. I want to know more about the Lord tonight than I did last night. Amen! 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 So I sat one night in a dedicatorial service somewhere between here and Dan and Beersheba. And my heart sunk within me as I watched the choir march on to the platform in their beautiful robes. Oh, they were so beautiful in their robes. Amen. But in and among them, I also saw sparkling diamond earrings and necklaces and dark fingernail polish and painted faces. And I said, I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. But what had happened was they had taken their flocks and gone down to Dothan, nearer to Egypt. They thought that they could get excited and get excitement down there. Amen. After a passing of several months, this pastor called his choir together and he said, choir, I wished you wouldn't wear those earrings when you sang in the choir. And after he got through, three of his men came to him and said, pastor, let us tell you something. When you want this choir to do something, when you want to change something that they have been accustomed to, you do that by vote. You ask them what they want to do. Oh, from Shechem down to Dothan. You say it's not happening. Oh, it may not be happening out here. And I thank God it isn't. Amen. But I know whereof I speak. There is an insidious work of Satan to get the shepherds to leave Shechem. Amen. And to go down to Dothan. For that's where the worldly attitudes are. And that's the direction of Egypt. And that's where the sheep will follow if the shepherd leads them there. Amen! 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 Oh, I've got to close. Oh, I'm afraid of Dothan. I'm afraid of Dothan. I'm afraid of Dothan. Amen! I sat in one of their seminars, and I'm not talking about another denomination, but I sat in one of their seminars, and I listened as long as I could. I determined that I was not going to say anything, because I knew they knew me. I was marked, and I just wasn't going to say anything. But I listened to them, and they were building love and grace and love and grace and oh, how I believe in love and grace. And I listened to it as long as I could, and finally I said, "Please, may I have something to say?" I said, I know what legalism is. It's law without love. And we're all afraid of that. We're all wanting to stay away from that. We don't want law without love. But I said, I thought when I was raising my family, and when I would say to my boys, son, don't do this or don't go there, that I was doing it with love for them and in their behalf. Amen. And a man that was there that did not know me, he spoke up. And he didn't know the direction that I was going. He spoke up and said, Jesus did say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I said, Amen. And so another minister got up to the blackboard and he began to mark the works people and the grace people. The works people, and of course, he placed me in the works people. And there was the grace people. And so there we were. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. And I said, tell me about that verse of Scripture that said, the grace of God that hath appeared unto all men, bringing us salvation, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. One of them spoke up and said, that has nothing to do with salvation. I said, do you mean to tell me I can live ungodly and be saved? Oh, let me tell you something, folks. Amen. I want to keep my flock in Shechem because the Father is going to send Joseph down to see how well the shepherds are and how well the flock is. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank God for truth, but let's also worship Him in spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Whew. Hallelujah. I conclude with this brief story. Out of the pages of 2 Kings, there is the story of King Ahaz and the fact that Israel was threatened by Syria. War was on the horizon. Ahaz, the king, sent messengers down to another king, the king of Assyria, asking for their help. And he took the gold and silver out of the temple, and he sent gifts of silver and gold to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him. And then finally Ahaz went to Damascus to meet the king of Assyria. And while he was in Damascus, he saw an altar that was there. And the king was so impressed with the beauty of that altar. He had never quite seen anything like it. It was a magnificent altar until he had pictures made of it and drawings made of it and finally patterns made of it. And he sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship thereof. And Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the first thing that he saw when he came in was that altar that Urijah the priest had built from the pattern that he had sent him. And the king approached to that altar, and he offered thereon. In order to do that, he had to move to one side the old-fashioned altar that God had designed and that God had given the pattern for. And that's not all that the king did. He cut off the base, and he took down the sea and the brazen oxen, and the scripture just bluntly says he put it on pavement of stones. He put it on pavement of stones. He took it all down because he had found another altar, a more elaborate altar, a more beautiful altar, and he patterned after it. But that isn't the end of the story. Look over in 2 Chronicles, the 28th chapter and the 23rd verse. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, and he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. They were the ruin of him and of all Israel. Amen. Jacob Joseph, come in. I want you to go down to Shechem. I want you to first check upon the shepherds, see how well they're doing. And then I want you to check on the flocks and see how well they are. And then come and report back to me. Oh, I believe there's a constant flow of communication to God as to how we are doing. What about your ministry? And laity, what about your activity? Amen. Are you looking to the other altar? Are you wanting something different than you've always had? Is there something that's displeasing to you about the old-fashioned way? Let me tell you, we have yet to see what the new altar is going to do. We know what the old one will do. Amen. Amen. And I can have a lot of patience with sincere, honest, hungry-hearted people. But when those old-timers turn and walk away from the altar, the only one they've ever known, and go down to Dothan, then there's something within me that is crushed. Amen. Oh yes, these new babes, I can have a lot of patience with them. They are little bitty sheep, and I can go along with them. But let me tell you something. Not for long should they be allowed to go without some food from Shechem. That's the doctrine. That's the structure of steel. That's the thing that holds the building up and holds it together. Amen, 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 amen. If you're going down to Dothan, let me tell you, there's bitterness, there's hatred, and there's a hole there, and there's slavery, and there's eventually Egypt. Oh, God, help us to stay where the Father thinks we are, in the field of Shechem, the old paths and the pasture land, where the feeding of the flock needs to be. Can we praise Him again? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. When we begin to pattern after the world, it really doesn't stop with what you think it will stop with. It goes on. I have actually, as a pastor, had to deal all the way down the line, even to social drinking, because it doesn't stop with just the clipping of the lady's hair and the painting of the face and then the earrings, but it goes all the way. The young man that I called in not too long ago, and I said, why? He said, just because I like it. I said, no. You've heard me preach. You know that it's wrong. But I've got to think about it. What have you got to think about? What have you got to stop and consider? We are not going to permit this to enter our ranks. Amen. We're staying in Shechem. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But you say, it's not a popular message, but it gets the job done. It's a message of deliverance. Hallelujah. For we are delivered from the things of Egypt. Amen. And we have crossed through the River Jordan. Amen. And we're dwelling in the promised land. And we're just waiting for our God to come back. Let's praise Him once more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet as we lift our hands and praise Him and thank Him. Amen. The pastor and the flock. The pastor, the preacher, the shepherd, and the flock. Where are they feeding? Where are the sheep feeding? Where are they pastoring? In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God.